Hi, I'm Tony Riddle, and this is the Nat Life Pod, a platform for conversation to help close the gap between wellness as an industry and wellness as a state of being. Hello, you beautiful beings of planet Earth. Welcome. Welcome back for some. So welcome back for me. It's been a while since getting behind a mic like this. I put a pause on my podcast back in 2020, and it's now time to reignite this thing with a whole new perspective and perception, really, I would say. I've been holding many circles and holding a lot of space, largely because I was witnessing this huge chasm between wellness as an industry and our ability to achieve total health and well-being. So the podcast really is time. It feels like it's time that I'll be sitting down with people to help shine a light on what it is to really embody this, what it is to reach those heightened states of well-being, what it is to feel like a healthy individual. We'll be looking at personal and planetary health in the conversations moving forward. But for today, it's just me, which is quite something when you have to get behind a mic in front of a camera when it's just you. There isn't another person there to bounce this conversation off. So lots of stuff come up for me before getting behind this. And something that I work with, and I work with a lot of people with when it comes to finding their voice, is the breath. So before this, I had a breathing app on and just sat for 5 minutes just to down-regulate so I can find my voice again. It's an extraordinary thing when it comes to voice. And the beauty of that pause that I had between the last pod and where we sit here now is the opportunity I've had to hold circles. And in those circles, I've witnessed this very same thing that when it comes to speaking and being heard, even, I would say, not just speaking, but actually someone receiving as well what's being spoken of, is our ability to really access our voice. And some of the cases, they would take it back when we unpacked that. Where does that come from, right? We're just being asked within a circle of people to introduce ourselves, and we go and we gulp it down, or we get a flush, or we get those pangs of anxiety. And what is that? Where does it come from? And they, after unpacking it, we would take it right back to their school years, right? All the way back there. And people would say, oh, it's when I was pulled up in front of assembly and I'd have to stand up in front of every year that was there. So we could be talking about hundreds of kids, right? Of all different ages, and some you've never met before, possibly, and with no coaching skills of how to public speak. And it's of little wonder why we're having trouble finding our voices. If we have that's our first understanding of what it is to speak out loud into a room. There's trauma there, right? That's what comes up. So we've worked through those circles, not just through voice, but other practices that have come up, like ecstatic dance was another one, a classic example of it, where without any substance, we go through a process and we have people understanding how to dance again without those substances and what they might have to break down. And one person in that room had a complete epiphany that they have worked in the music industry all their life. They're mega successful in the music industry, but suddenly had this, oh my God, I've never danced without substances. Extraordinary, right? And then unpacked it. And where did it come from? Oh, it was the school disco where you had boys on one side and girls on the other side. And the trauma that they felt in that moment was resurfacing then. And we think of trauma as it can be anything, right? But it's just that emotional trigger, let's call it actually. Trauma is probably a bit extreme. The emotional trigger in that moment was enough for them not to dance for many years without some kind of substance. So it's been great having that pause. It means I've actually had a real opportunity to tune in to the practices outside of what I would say were what I was more aligned with, which was the real physical embodiment of practice. You know, I have this rewilding, reconnecting, rebooting approach to living a natural lifestyle. But there's so much more within rewilding. So if it's like getting behind a mic like this and finding our authentic voice, that means rewilding the voice if it's our understanding of dancing without substances, again, that's rewilding that natural, creative, playful state that had been at one time, perhaps someone's put a lid on that, right? It's an extraordinary practice, really, when we look at rewilding, because we think of it again, like rewilding land or rewilding what was for me movement originally. And then I started to look at breath and I started to look at other modalities. What does sleep look like in nature? Okay, we can rewild sleep. Okay, what does play look like? Oh, we can rewild play. But this understanding suddenly that, there's a rewilding of voice, there's a rewilding of dance even, there's a rewilding of how to sit even in circle and share, right? Because again, we would have all been doing that at some stage. And so in that time period of holding circles, I've developed many things. We've developed 100 human experience and we get 100 people coming together. And that's 100 people. More often than not, it's only a few people within that experience that have come with another person. So it can be like a large proportion of those are strangers, but we bring them together. And in a very short window of time, they are so connected. Connected as one, right? And that's something quite extraordinary. And that is through simple practices again of movement. There's play, there's breath work. We've started introducing cacao ceremonies, which is also something really quite powerful. The ecstatic dance, ice baths. And through 2 days of practice like that, the opening of each of those people has been something quite extraordinary. We've had now through that process, people getting married. We've had relationships start up. We've had people have complete career changes because it's an opportunity, practices like that or weekends away like that, are an opportunity to step outside what are perhaps some of the limiting behaviors and beliefs or even communities, even whole communities that might be holding us back. And to immerse ourselves in something that helps strip away a lot of that. And then we step into more, I don't want to use that word, it's used a lot, right? This word authentic self, you know, we hear it a lot. But the wild, connected, empowered version of us, you know, that we all enter this world. Imagine we're, before we come in, we must be like, what's going on down there? That looks extraordinary. I can't wait to land there. And then what happens, you know, do we forget? And then, so if we forget, what do we need to do? We need to remember. So these weekends, these experiences are very much about remembering that we are these innately wild, connected, empowered beings. And through that, we understand that we do have everything inside of us to be the change. That for me has been very powerful on my own path of wanting to change. And I think if I look back to when I did put the pause on the podcast, it wasn't that I was just busy. I don't think I was really ready at that moment to hold this space. I had a lot happening around me. I was training for a lot of endurance events, wanting to get things off the ground, and wasn't really honoring the podcast in a sense. That's what it felt, you know? And now, having started this year with another endurance event, on that endurance event, I came back and I had this language of I wanted to make more meaningful contributions to the world. And to do that, I had to strip out things that perhaps felt less meaningful. Not that they weren't meaningful, just less meaningful. So I stripped out some of my coaching business, which created more space. And then within that, it enabled me to firstly really immerse in the 100 human experience, opening that space up. But it also enabled me to really hold another space, which is called Man Men, which is a men's circle I created. And then my Nat Life Tribe, which is an online community. And these are all community-based, and it's where I can share my voice. And there's been such extraordinary change come through holding those spaces that I just felt that, you know what, this needs to be a larger circle. And so the Nat Life Pod used to be the Natural Lifestyle, it's podcast, but I think the Nat Life Pod is there now, is an opportunity. It is that space now. It feels like I can reach a bigger circle of community in that sense. And again, invite others in that can also share, impart their wisdom, their experiences, that also perhaps others might hear something in that conversation. May not be aligned with the whole conversation, but something in there might grab their attention to shine a light again on some of those limiting behaviors and beliefs. And when we do hear that or see that or are witness to it, that I believe is how we truly make the change. It's been really evident in the men's work. It's something I have been so drawn to holding for a long time. I have been on the path, and on that path, I have been broken. I've existed in this, what felt like a permanent state, I would say, of making do. Some days not feeling like getting out of bed. I was heavily into substances at one stage. I had the suicidal thoughts. I had loss of business, bankruptcy, divorce, you name it, I was hit with it. And I had my breakdown moment and my breakthrough moment. And I do believe that breakthrough movement, we keep going through. It's not to say the work's done. Here I am. Ah, hello, guru. It's like, oh, wow, this is the process. And I do believe that once we start on that, we should continue evolving until we're literally pushing up daisies. And through the men's circle, what's quite extraordinary when we do sit in circle is we see, once we start sharing, I recognize that. I have that going on. I have that. And then we realize all of a sudden we're not alone. So the man-men circle, the original logo that came up for me, I finished the meditation. It was like, what does this look like? And I had the word man, and then I had a circle, and inside the circle, the M of the men in the E and the N is in that circle, and the man exists outside, because it can be lonely out here just being a man, but it's nice to know there are more men in the circle. And once we do sit in that again and we start sharing, we recognize that we really are not alone. And yet that part of being alone or feeling alone is leading to some pretty scary statistics. When you look at the statistics, and the statistics don't lie, suicide remains the number one cause of death for men in the UK, which is terrifying, right? So man-men for me is an offering to that, because I've been there and I've had that suicidal thought. I've had that, right? How do I escape this with creating perhaps the least amount of impact on the people around me, even trying to find ways out of doing it to where I feel I am today? You know, again, that gaping chasm between the wellness being an industry, and which can create even more, I would say, feelings of being lonely, because how am I not achieving this? If this is what the industry says I should be doing, I should feel amazing right now, but I wasn't. And so I feel I've healed that gap, and I have achieved what it is to feel healthy and in a state of well-being. Is it permanent? You know, it's life can be overwhelming, right? Life can be, I've got to get behind a mic right now. But having modalities and tools for those moments when that overwhelm is punctuated in amongst the amazing sensations or feelings of well-being and happiness, if you have those modalities, it enables you to drop back in again and find a way. And that's been the beauty, again, of those circles, is to offer the practices or the approaches or the modalities that I've learned along my path that have helped rescue me. And then from there, I also have the Nat Life Tribe, which has been this phenomenal online community. Many of those have attended like the 100 Human Experience as well, but that we have like movement classes throughout the week, and they're the natural movement practices that I've worked with that have helped me on my endurance events and have helped this 47, just about to turn 48 vessel feel and move better than I did back in my 20s. So there's these incredible movement sessions that happen around the week, but there's also this phenomenal breathwork session, which is a conscious connected breath that then is one of the most profound modalities of breath, because it helps unscrew the lid that we all hold on top of us that pushes down the stuff that we emotionally we're holding on to, and it gives those emotions an opportunity to be released. And we can do that through breath, and that's something quite powerful, isn't it? Because that's within us, it's our own medicine. And I've sat in medicine circles and worked with psychedelics and plant medicines and sat with shamans and done an incredible amount of work there, and it is profound. But what's more profound is to know that we also can access that through our breath. We can find those same heightened states of well-being, mental well-being, mental wellness, right, through breathing. So that's one of the sessions in the Nat Life Tribe, and it's been an amazing growing community. So we also have a WhatsApp group in there, and sometimes, if I'm honest, sorry Nat Life Tribe members, but I am a little blown away by how much is in there, and it can be, oh my god, there's like 150 messages in here to look at. But again, it's something that I can step outside of, because there's some extraordinary people also holding space within it. We have nutritionists in there, psychotherapists in there, dietitians, doctors, parents. There's this amazing feeling of natural parenting in there, and there's some incredible advice that is offered through that community. And that feels like something closer to what real community is, what perhaps we have lost. You know, it's something definitely I felt disconnected from a very long period of time, mainly living in London, if I'm honest. If I think back to the days we, Katerina and the kids and I, lived in London, and we would live in an apartment in a large house that had been cut up into several apartments, and only a couple of the neighbors would actually communicate with one another. So that's an extraordinary thing. If we went back to even thinking about, well, we could bring blue zones into multi-generational homes, right? Well, that's the extraordinary studies around there on longevity studies, just living in multi-generational homes. But if you think in an apartment block, think of how many different generations are in those apartment blocks. But yet it's like, I've got to get behind my door and close the door. So yeah, I think this connection to community feels stronger than ever for me. And I think, but part of that also, we have to understand common unity. So there has to be an alignment in there. And that's where going to events or dropping ourselves into something like the Nat Life Tribe, for instance, or Man Men, there is an alignment there. You feel it. And with that, it brings what I feel a deeper connection. Perhaps less conflict or feelings of conflict occur within that. So what else have I been doing? Well, there are events. Right? So there we are, 100 Human Experience, Nat Life Tribe, Man Men. So there are three things I've been creating in this time that, again, have led to me feeling like I'm ready for this now, to hold this space and open that up so I can have a voice within this community now. But endurance events. So from Land's End, John O'Groats, when I first started this podcast, and that was a crazy idea, thinking that was something I should be launching at that time. I was running the length of the UK barefoot from Land's End to John O'Groats, like 30 miles a day for 30 consecutive days, and looking at interviewing sustainability and environmental experts or people within that sphere on the daily, and not really understanding how fatigued I would be physically. No, physically I get the. I guess it was the mental fatigue of that, like even the lead up to an endurance event, how much you're doing around that event and how much is involved, and the engagement and press, and I had TV stuff going on with Sky News and BBC Breakfast, all of that thrown into that mix, which I just wasn't familiar with. I didn't have the modalities I know of today to be able to really, be truly of service by getting behind a mic and getting a great conversation out there. So in a way, I feel it's almost like a sense of apology there. I need to almost feel like I have to apologize for that. But the reality is it's a beginner, and I always come back to a beginner's mindset, and I'm learning. And this is now new learning for me to sit here and speak to the camera just as I am. So that was a little tricky for me, holding that space and holding those interviews. And I smashed it, by the way. I smashed the Land's End John O'Groats. Did it. Lots came up. It was quite profound. So if you're new to the podcast, I'll unpack it a little for you. The length of the UK is close to 900 miles. So the concept was to run these 30 miles a day for 30 consecutive days and to do it barefoot. And so by running it barefoot, it was raising kind of these socially extreme eyebrows of what is this behavior? And it grabbed a lot of attention. And again, something I wasn't so familiar with was having that level of, I guess, press around it, you know, something new for me. I had to learn that. Right at the end of the run, day 26, I managed to give myself an upper ankle sprain. I was traversing through some woodland. I got completely lost, stepped over a rock, moved, boom, pinged my ankle, couldn't stand on it. And then the modalities I was familiar with, I could work with breath and cold and even just loading practices. I managed to spend a day working on myself with that so that by day 28, I was ready to go again. And managed to then get back on the road and run 30 miles. Wasn't nice. It was quite gnarly and really sharp, and just having to work through breath and trying to get my foot off the ground rather than even thinking about loading it. And then the next day, 47 miles. And then the final day, I cracked out a 57 miler, which was insane, really, looking back on it, considering the pain that was there. But completed it, and my wife Katerina was pregnant with son Beau at that time, and Beau was then born within weeks after that event. And everyone was asking me, so what's next, Tony? And I was I think I'm done now. You know, our next event is really our son coming into the world, and knowing what an endurance event raising real babies can be, you know, in itself, right? But in a very short window of time, I was itching. And I was itching because I'd finished, I think, on that 57 miler and thought, wow, if I can run 57 miles on an upper ankle sprain, what else could I be doing, you know? And someone then dropped this idea of running the Three Peaks. And for those that aren't in the UK or aren't familiar with it, it's our three highest peaks in the UK. So one is in Wales and one is in England and one is in Scotland. Wales is Snowdonia, England is Scafell Pike, and in Scotland it's Ben Nevis. So they're our three highest peaks, mountains, peaks. And why don't you try and do that? Why don't you look at doing that barefoot? And it just felt like it had been done. So then there was the idea of, well, normally the idea of the three peaks is you go up the first peak, whether you start in Scotland at Ben Nevis or whether you start in Snowdon. But then you drive between them and you attempt this within 24 hours. I was like, okay, what if I run between them? And this idea of 3 and 9. So I thought, all right, let's see if I can do it in 9 days. And then someone said, well, there is a record, Tony. There is a record for this. And so that became the next mission. It was like, well, let's see if we can have a crack at this record. And I still thought, well, what about the barefoot element of this? How do I look at running this barefoot? And we're looking at crazy terrain being the mountains, and yet we're looking at a huge amount of tarmac in between. And what I'd learned from the Land's End John O'Groats was this terrain of tarmac. It's just linear, right? You keep wearing away the same areas and the pads, and where would you see that in nature? So is it really natural to be running that kind of distance barefoot on something like that? I know, let's run the mountains barefoot because the mountains are natural. You would have been doing that at some stage. And then I'm friends with Vivo Barefoot, and I help on different levels within Vivo Barefoot, and they help me on many different levels. And so it was like, okay, let's run between these mountains in Vivo Barefoot. So it's the closest thing to being barefoot, really. in terms of footwear. And then you see where we go. And again, smashed it, managed to break the record by, I think, 4 hours in the end. And then post that, put a pause on it. When we put a pause on it, because again, just raising awareness and creating circles and these incredible experiences. But I was also writing a book. And so in amongst all of this, we had that time of COVID, right? And that period started, I actually caught COVID at the beginning of 2020 before this Three Peaks adventure, and was also looking at getting this book out into the world. So it was an extraordinary time of, again, I guess traversing, this is the best way I could explain that time for me personally, was traversing this fine line between what was overwhelm and what felt like privilege. Huge privilege to be able to go out there on these extraordinary events. It's a huge privilege to be able to write a book. It was a huge privilege to put a documentary out called One Man, Two Feet, Three Peaks. All of that was a huge privilege, but there were often times when I was feeling a little overwhelmed. Young family, 4 kids, and having all this happening around me, which is largely why, again, it feels strange to even offer an apology for not holding a podcast in that time, because there was this extraordinary amount of things unraveling and happening for me, not to me. And it came really, I would say, at a point we were leaving London and we were staying at a place called 42 Acres. It's my friend's retreat space just in Somerset. And we lived there for 6 months in this extraordinary retreat space. So we were really connected to the land. And there was a huge lake there. And I'd get up in the morning and I'd take a cup very similar to this. And I'd sit by the lake and I'd do 100 cycles of breath and have a little sip of tea. And then I'd get in the water and then I'd come back out and I'd put my dry robe on and I'd sit and have another sip of tea. And then I'd sit and breathe, meditate. And I started sobbing at one point, and properly sobbing. And I realized that I had reached that point of overwhelm, because we didn't really have anywhere to live at that stage. We were staying at a retreat space. I had all this stuff happening around me. And then really this understanding of the privilege of it all. And this speaks to the next event that then came up for me from there, was to run the Southwest Coastal Path. And the Southwest Coastal Path, for those don't know, it's a 630-mile trail that covers 4 counties. So you either start in Somerset in England, Somerset, and you go to Devon, and then down into Cornwall, and then Devon, you finish in Dorset, or you go the other way from Dorset. And we were in Somerset at the time, so it made sense to leave from Somerset. And I spent a large amount of time training for this event, or what I felt was enough training for this event. I had my amazing support coming in from Vivo Barefoot again. And they're in the process of launching something that's quite extraordinary. So I was in these prototypes of a 3D scan to print footwear. So it was an exact of my feet. That I would be wearing on this trail. So you don't get much more barefoot than that. It's literally an exact of your foot to be experiencing that kind of terrain. And it's not only 630 miles, it's 1,000 kilometers, by the way. So if you break that down, it was a 10-day, the record was 10 days, 8 hours. So the attempt for me was to get that record. So you're looking at around about 63 miles or 100 Ks a day. So that, if you've done a park run or you've done a 5K or a 10, let's say a 10K, it's 10 10Ks or 5 half marathons or 2 marathons and a half marathon per day, and it's consecutive days to get that done. But the most extraordinary part about it is not only is it really gnarly terrain, involves a bit of rock climbing, all kinds of things, and you're on cliff edges, but it's also the equivalent of 4 Everests. There's like an elevation gain of 115,000 feet. And so I attempted that. I had a crack at that last year, August into September. First day, smashed it, huge amount of mileage, 12,000 feet elevation, next day, woke up, ready to go again. And half marathon in, as I was about to load my right foot, I got cramp and the cramp crept in and I tore my calf muscle. And it was an, oh no, it's all over moment. And for my crew as well, we're all looking at it and everyone's eyes were rather big around being terrified of what does this mean? It was, and we were like 10 days of this booked in. And a documentary we were building for this as well. And that took, again, the going into the practices of firstly just breathing, down regulating. So I'm not observing this from a point of, oh no, it's victim, I'm done, it's all over, and trying to really get a handle on those emotions. And so within a short window of time, it was back to being out again and back to being out on the path again. But it did mean that running really wasn't a possibility. So I was then traversing these incredible landscapes. But with a torn calf, which meant it said that we walk at like between 120 and 130 beats per minute. Like, so 60 to 65 of those beats were like, in my calf, and almost like hitting the sick trigger. But what really came up, and some of you will know this story and some perhaps not, and I don't want to go too much into the victim of this because I feel that through this last event, I really unpacked a lot. I was born with club feet, so I was the longest baby on record in the hospital. And it meant that my young parents, who are like in their early 20s, I think like 22 and 21, were taking me to the hospital daily to have weekly, to have these plaster cast boots that I was put into to be reformed. And if it wasn't done weekly, then the rate I was growing, it would cut circulation off. So it's really important to be there. So huge triggering, I imagine, for my parents, right, in that state. Then I was put into boots with braces, and the boots had like a metal bar, and they'd prise my feet open to get them into a certain shape, which is more, again, aligned to where I am today, I guess. Which is, now that I understand that, it's like, oh wow, there's huge amounts of gratitude in that, right? So on the path, back out on the path, I'm hobbling along with my torn calf over this crazy terrain, huge elevations, cliff edges, and just this, again, tears started to come of, wow, what a huge privilege it is to be able to walk, right? So overwhelm and privilege with what's happening around me, but actually going into the privilege of what it is to be able to walk, what a privilege it is to be able to run, and oh my God, what a privilege it is to be alive, you know? And what are we going to do with that life? What do we do with that? And so that was a very deep kind of learning within that. But then what came in immediately was, oh my God, I've never thanked my parents for taking me each week to have my plaster cast done, for putting me in the seat in front of the specialist who put those boots on, who prized those feet apart. I'd never gone into that. I've been residing, let's say, in the real victim of it, you know, or using it as fuel, I would say, to get out there and do stuff, you know, that's still striving for something. Do I have to get this done? I've got to go out and get this mileage, because I'm really still unpacking it. So was that still running away from it, or running into the trauma somehow? The first run, Land's End, John O'Groats, came about because I'd completely parked that. I had actually forgotten that I'd been born with club feet, forgot that I had these plaster cast feet, forgot that I had braces, and was in an experience where it came up for me. And I was like, wow, okay, and I got to see it. And I went through that trauma of it again. And then here we are, like on the Southwest Coastal Path, actually hobbling along, finding complete peace with it. And with that peace, I came back feeling very, very content, like totally at peace. It feels incredibly empowering now, that position in life, like to feel actually content and at peace. And then it's extraordinary how perhaps those past experiences we're walking along the path with, that we also need to be able to make peace with, right? To be able to really walk the path and feel content and at peace with where we're at and much more present. I had a an event back in January. It's called the Arc of Attrition. It's a 100-mile race, and you have 36 hours to complete it. And that brings me back to earlier with this meaningful contribution. And it really has started my year with this real intention of how to make more meaningful contributions to the world. And part of that has been this understanding of I want to help others, you know, but to help others, I have to help others to help me help others, you know? And so, again, that comes back right back to this podcast, but it also comes back to someone said to me, well, how do you create more Tonys, Tony? So I started also this, a coaching program now called Nat Life Coach. And it's around this whole philosophy of physical, social, spiritual alignment, really, of how to get the needs met and how that may look in nature versus how do we label it even, like a more compromised society or environment, right? How do you get those needs met? And so we have a day called Nat Life Move, which is about movement practices that are more aligned with nature, more movement, less exercise, really understanding how we should move throughout a day, become more opportunistic with our movement. The next day is called Nat Life Therapy, and that looks at cold water therapy and nature immersion, like nature therapy. And they're really profound practices, again, because they help us tune into the frequency of what it is to be nature. Like cold immersion is profound for that, right? That you find in that really cold experience, you become the body of water, but you also find that feelings of being content and at peace in there. You get to a certain time within it when you manage to work through the breath and you become this, and there's such precision and clarity, I would say, within thought, within that experience. And the same with nature immersion, going into a woodland or a forest and really opening up and heightening your senses. It's not just the walk in the woods, because we can be walking in the woods like thinking about this or thinking about that and just, oh, I'm in nature right now. But really, to be in nature, it's to be nature, not be in nature, but to be nature. We are nature, right? Not separate of it. It's all interconnected. We are one thing. And that nature therapy day is very much about introducing modalities for coaches to be able to take others, to help me help others, there we go, along that path, and to tune into those amazing states that we all have within us. The next day is then Nat Life Evolve, and that's the evolution of the human diet, the digestive system, hormonal systems, and our sleep, and the food systems, and our sleep. And then the final day is called Nat Life Grow, so that's about becoming a coach, how to coach, how to become a coach, the business end of it. But then we finish on something quite extraordinary, which is about holding space, holding a sacred space, and then finally sit in ceremony and have a cacao ceremony together. It's quite extraordinary. It's not just for coaches, because it's such an experiential thing that it's like going away on a 4-day retreat, but with experts. So I have Sam Boot, he's on board with the cold immersion. So he's an extraordinary cold water therapy guy. Liz Dawes was holding the forest bathing nature element of it. Kate Booker, she's incredible nutritionist, naturopath. There's Kieran Lowe holding breath work and different modalities of breath. And then Alice is then a lifestyle coach. She introduces the real business end of, and some of the language and some of the boundaries that we have to introduce as coaches. And then there's Jeff, and Jeff is a legend. He's great at holding space and sacred space. So he's in there. He's also on board with my 100 human experiences and hold the cacao ceremonies there. I call him the cacao bear. He is so good at holding a cacao ceremony. He's born for holding cacao ceremonies. Anyway, there's to the coaches there. So that hopefully unpacks what's been going on and from where I feel I can sit behind a mic now and voice what I'm voicing now and hopefully hold some extraordinary conversations for you to hear. I'm rather excited because it gets to me. It means that I get to sit with extraordinary beings and have these extraordinary conversations. You know, we are all extraordinary. And once we sit and we start and we open up a communication, it can be incredibly empowering. And again, it can just be a word, a sentence, that something might shift others. And I've seen it in the circles, and I've seen it in the experiences I hold. And I really do believe that that can be felt through the pod, the Nat Life pod too. So I'm going to leave it there. I'll leave you there for now. Much love to you. I have a practice for you. This is what I've been working with the circles. You go to the mirror and you look in the mirror and you say these words: I love you. I appreciate you. I forgive you. I accept you. What we could also put on the end of that is, you are enough. Always remember that. Looking forward to the next time. Looking forward to getting back behind the mic and opening up those conversations. Keep well, keep strong. Remember, we are innately wild, connected, empowered beings. Go be that. So all the things I've discussed in the podcast there, you'll be able to find it in the show notes. So Nat Life Tribe, Man Men, The 100 Human Experience, Nat Life Coach, the coaching certification, that, and my book, Be More Human, really underpins the whole philosophy. Also, Vivo Barefoot, big shout out to Vivo Barefoot. And there's a discount code for you guys there, all uppercase, TonyVivo15. That's a 15 for the 15. Also, big shout out to We Are The Clarks, who are helping film and produce the podcast. And a big thank you, of course, to you, the audience, for listening. Don't forget to share. Sharing is caring, and it does help me to help others.